الله أكبر الله
Haji.
My name is John Q. Public, and I'm a member in good standing of an organization called America. And I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few. But that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here. But since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple. But this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience. Do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable. And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the shooting bench. It is Monday, the 5th of August, and I've got a little error message up here. I'm not 100% sure that I'm getting through here, so let me go over here to the chat room real quick before we get too carried away. And by a show of hands in the chat room, how many people's got sound there? Yeah, they heard you because they said good show, and Pumpkin Cat said good show, God bless, and there's all they heard you. But I don't know if they're hearing me because I had to turn the server off long enough for to split up the archives. So let's 5x5 loud and clear. All right, Tebow, thank you very much. Okay, we'll continue to march here. Nan just joined us. And NM Glock, sir. NM Glock, I haven't seen you for a while. I'm glad you made it back tonight. And he says 5x5. All right, we'll continue to march here. The I suppose the big news right now is Trump's little speech this morning. And I'll have to say that there was parts of it that was disconcerting, to say the least. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit and see. Hang on a second, just a second. Okay, second and a half, I'm back. There are some reasons to be concerned there, but let's talk about this a little bit. The big thing right now is his mention of red flag laws. Now, this has been a concern now for the last several months, you know, probably a year or so, where people are concerned about. They've actually put them into place in some states. I believe, I think Colorado, maybe Washington, Oregon. I'm not positive. Yakima Glock can probably let us know about Washington. I'm pretty sure there's been some put in place in Washington. But anyhow, be that as it may, it doesn't matter. What matters is, are they going to be put in place federally because of what, because of these latest shootings and what Trump just said. So this is a horribly complicated thing. It should be easy. It should just say, you know, we're going to, you know, they're unconstitutional. We're not going to do it. Boom, it's over. And I wish that would happen. But I don't think that our president would have nearly the support that he needs to do that. If he said that, virtually all of Congress would be against him. Overwhelming majority of, or at least half of the citizenry would be against him. And it's a lose-lose situation no matter what he does. And it's bothersome. It really is. It's very concerning. Part of it may be because of his because his lack of education in Second Amendment issues and whatnot. And that has been proven. There's been a couple things that he's backed off on after he got some counsel from his son and some other people that he didn't know about, and that may be part of the case now. So let me tell you right off the bat, before anyone says anything otherwise, I am very much 100% opposed to red flag laws. But let me, I hate to say, it's constitutional, but I'm not going to say that it's constitutional. I'm not going to say that it's right, and I'm not going to say that I'm for it. What I'm going to say is that it is, at this point, it appears to be inevitable. Inevitable means there ain't no way around it. It's going to happen. So if we have to accept it, and before anybody gets out there and starts any stupid crap about, we don't have to accept it. Second Amendment, blah, blah, blah. We can use the Second Amendment. We're gonna stop this. And no, you're not. You're going to sit there and blubber like any other whiny-ass crybaby on Facebook, and you're not going to do anything. So shut up and listen to what I'm saying. These red flag laws that I am opposed to are most likely to cause way more harm than they do good in most cases. Most cases. Since they are inevitable, and we're going to see them, no matter how much we gripe or what we do, they're going to be forced on us. So here's the thing. We'd like to talk to our legislators, all of our Congress critters, and urge them in the strongest possible terms not to support these red flag laws. The problem with that is there's going to be more that ask them to support them than there is not to. Are they going to abide by their oath and go by their own conscience? Most of them are not. Matt Shea will. Walt Blackman will. Chris Taylor will. Sylvia Allen will. There's others around that will. But overall, they are a drop in the bucket compared to how many won't. So immediately after we urge them to oppose it with great vigor, we need to explain to them that if it's going to happen, here's the way it needs to be written. Now, everybody's biggest concern is that an ex-wife, girlfriend, co-worker, the neighbor across the street, whatever, all of a sudden gets mad and says, I'll fix him right now. I'll just call up. So they call the sheriff, call the local police department and say, hey, my ex-husband lives across the street, and I saw him looking through a rifle scope out the upstairs window at me while I was mowing the lawn. It wasn't because I was topless or whatever. He was looking at me with a rifle scope. And I fear for my life. And that's all it's going to take. And they're going to come, they're going to take your guns, and they may or may not ever give them back, depending on how the red flag laws are written and how they are enforced. If, listen to what I said, read my lips, no new taxes, no. If they are... it's enacted federally, and if state laws are there's some kind of a preemption amendment here that said, not amendment, but a preemption thing that says that there will be no state red flag laws any more stringent than federal law, and federal law is written correctly, it's probably something that, however disagreeable it may be tolerable for until we're able to get things back under control. This is going on the assumption right now that it is inevitable. So how it is written is going to be how it is enforced, enacted. So it has to be written in such a way that hearsay does not get your guns taken away. It has to be written in such a way that if they take your guns away, that they must be returned in a prompt manner if they don't come up with something solid to charge you with. Okay, here's the thing. In 1980, Jimmy Carter did away with all pretty much all of the mental institutions. There was a time when we had, you know, 500,000 nutcases locked up. Granted, some of them were, some of them weren't. And that's disturbing in itself. But since then, there are, well, nutcases, lots of them out on the street. See them all the time. There's nothing that can be done about it unless it is assumed or proven or suggested that they are a threat to themselves or somebody else. And even then, they can only be held for 72 hours against their will. So, yeah, mountain shooter, you are damn sure doomed in California for sure. So if these are written in such, let's say, okay, you have a coworker comes to work and he's obsessed with death, with his new gun, with shooting people. He talks about shooting up a school. What are your options right now? Not a whole lot in many states, most states. Not a whole lot. If he claims that he's going to go to this school and kill just as many of those little punks as he can, or see how many he can shoot in a given amount of time, what are you going to do? If there is enough evidence there that this is actually going to happen, that he really does plan this, would it not be prudent to have something in place to detain this individual and take those firearms until we figure out whether he was serious or was just blowing off some steam, in which case the gun should be immediately returned? Now, go back to what I said when we first started this conversation. I am vehemently opposed to red flag laws. But I'm telling you, if they're going to be here anyway, sitting around bitching about it on Facebook is not going to solve anything. Go to your legislators' pages and say, hey, this is what, if this is going to have to happen, this is what the way it needs to be. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't all of a sudden make it constitutional. I think that now, according to Judge Napolitano, providing that it's enacted and worded properly, it would fall within constitutional guidelines. If it's on hearsay, no. Your ex-wife, your neighbor says, you know, whatever, you know, I fear for my life. I'm afraid. I see this guy walking around carrying a gun all the time for no reason. Why is he doing this? I watched him walk within 50 feet of my kids
and I'm scared to death for them. In Washington right now, they'll come take your guns. Period. That's all it takes. If they're convincing enough, and in some states they don't have to be all that convincing. In other states, take New Mexico, for instance. In order for them to get a restraining order and make it illegal for you to have your guns, they would look and see if there is any background to this. You know, has this woman called in before? Has the guy ever been arrested before for domestic violence or anything? You know, several different things to say, you know, and they say, well, you know what? I think this woman's full of crap and she's just trying to get this guy in trouble, and we just need to ignore that. Well, in New Mexico, back in the day, maybe they had enough common sense to do something like that. Nowadays, I don't know. But you see where I'm going here. It could be logically, if you get legislators to write these laws in such a way, see, what's going to happen is the other side, the opposition, the Democrats, and some of the Republicans, some of the rhinos are going to fall right in step with these Democrats to write these red flag laws. I was very, very, very disappointed when I heard this one-eyed representative that used to be, I think it was who was a Navy SEAL. What's his name? Crenshaw? Dan Crenshaw? He just come up in support of red flag laws. Yes, he did. And that blew me away. And I'm seeing more and more of these used to be wannabe conservatives that are falling right in with the Democrats. So what's going to happen is they're going to write the laws. And they're going to say in their laws that if someone feels uncomfortable at all, if someone sees a Facebook post that shows this guy out at the range shooting at a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket and shot the colonel right between the eyes, they're going to feel uncomfortable and scared, and that guy's going to get his guns taken away. You think I'm kidding? Mark my words. I'm telling you, that's why it's going to be. We need to make sure that our legislators, there's going to be no compromise. They're not going to say, okay, no, we're not going to do that. No, we're not going to do red flag laws, period. Just stop it. That's not going to work. We don't have enough support on our side. It is not going to work. So, as much as I'm opposed to voting for the lesser of two evils, if we can get red flag laws passed, I don't know where I keep saying this amendment crap. But if they could say, okay, we will go for this if we change the wording to this. The best we can hope for, if that happens, is to buy us enough time through an election that will get us control of the House and Senate again. By then, for all I know, it may be too late. But you're right, Pumpkin Cat. The law could absolutely be disastrous. It depends on how it is written. If they do it strictly on hearsay, we're done. You might as well decide if you're going to hide all your guns or sit around and wait for them all to be confiscated or sell them or grab them and go out and start World War III or whatever you're going to do. And Pumpkin Cat, I tend to agree with you. Pumpkin Cat, for those of you not on the chat room, says you need to get mental hospitals back. A lot of these killers are nuts. Well, it could be argued that they're all nuts. Anybody that walks in there and kills 20 people is nuts. Maybe. The reason I say maybe
is because it's if you get, let's say, Antifa, they have an agenda. It's never our side. It's never, ever that I know of, they've been strong conservative NRA members, you know, blah, 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 registered Republicans, whatever. I don't know of any cases where they were the mass shooter, certainly not in the last several years. So Antifa has an agenda, and they're saying, look, this is what needs to happen. We need to get this headed in, you know, get things headed in this direction. And the only way we're going to do it is to have multiple disasters and have it blamed blamed on guns or blamed on conservatives or both. Are they nuts? Well, they can't be right, but I don't think they're nuts in the manner that I think Hitler was nuts. They may be able to sit down and fully pass a nuts test. Now, what does this look like to you? Are these evil people in the room with us right now? So I'm not 100% convinced that all these people are, just because they've killed people, are totally off their rockers. Some of these people are I think, mentally stable, just intelligent, but cold, calculated killers. I don't know that they would ever see, John Wayne Gacy would have never seen the inside of a mental institution. Was he nuts? Yeah, I think so. Was Jeffrey Dahmer nuts? He would have never seen the inside of a mental institution. And a lot of these other people wouldn't either. Some of them would. And Pumpkin Cat's absolutely right. All these killers are absolutely nuts. Let me back up a little bit. Let me change that wording just a little bit. Let's don't say nuts. Let's say medicated. Let's say indoctrinated. I'm convinced that some of these people don't even know what they're doing, possibly. You know, we could get into the whole discussion of MK Ultra, and we could get into psychotropic drugs that many, many of these killers have been on. Go back through the pictures of all of them and look at their eyes. Are they nuts? Well, they're probably nuts temporarily while they're taking those pills. Nan says there has to be some type of insanity involved. Well, you know, these drugs would be some type of insanity. MK Ultra, if you believe in that, could create some kind of temporary insanity. It is exceedingly well documented that after Vietnam, that there was a great many sleepers, they called them, in this country. And with the, a simple phone call or meeting somebody at a bar or whatever, you know, just a few words or a phrase or something like that, and these people change and go do exactly what they've been taught and trained to do. So I can't hear you. So that takes us to, back to the question of whether or not these people are genuinely certifiably nuts, insane, or if it's very temporary. Tebow's got a good point. Robert Fry never used a gun and had a high IQ. So I guess the bottom line here, above all of the other stuff, above, you know, forget the red flag laws, forget the drugs, the MK Ultra, the, you know, forget all of that stuff. And it boils down to two things. One, people will always kill people. People will always find a way. They always have, they always will. This has gone on since the invention of people. And the second thing is that these things could be avoided if self-defense was allowed in a lot of, you know, almost, not quite, we've talked about this before, but almost 100% of these mass shootings have been in gun-free zones. Almost 100%. That makes a difference. Now, we could go in, you know, all day long and talk about, well, you know, maybe we'll talk about that after the break here. Let's see. How about I don't know. We could do this one, I guess. I'm just in the mood right now. So, give me a few.
I'll be back.
Revolution. Loading now.
Revolution. Loading
coming out.
Revolution.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country.
Yeah, we can. All right, we're back. Let's talk about this more. Amy's got a good point here, too. She says that the punishment isn't strict enough when people do stuff like this. They get put in jails and get free everything until they die or until they are released, you know, several years down the road or whatever. Nobody's afraid to go to jail anymore. If they would publicly execute these people, we want to make sure that it's that they are actually the guilty party, you know, whether it's through video or eyewitnesses or whatever. You know, I'm all for anybody getting to have at least one appeal. But when it is proven beyond a reasonable doubt that they are the guilty one, then execute them right there publicly. And I think that would have a lasting effect on a lot of these people. Of course, the ones that are nuts, the ones that are on these drugs and stuff, that probably wouldn't have any effect at all. But it would sure seem to have a effect on those that are not. So that's another option there. So let's see. Let me move back over here where I can see my deal. Doc says big believer in public executions. Yeah, why don't we do that? How come we're not still doing that? I think that would be I'm a big believer in due process. No matter who it was or what they've done, you know. But once it's determined, now I don't care if it was determined the same day, or you know, they've appealed this and been to a couple of trials and it's determined, you know, 3 months down the road. As soon as it's determined, say okay, come this way, come right out this door. Bring the television cameras in, open the gates, go ahead and sell tickets, fill the bleachers, and string him up right there. And I'll tell you what, I don't think it would take very damn many times of that for people to start saying, you know what, all this crap may not be all it's cracked up to be. I'm not entirely convinced I want to do this anymore. You know, let somebody else. I think maybe this is not good. So let me try something here. Hold on just a second. No, that's not working. I don't know what happened. Maybe this. Well, I guess I can live with it. So. Now back to the notion that, you know, we're not going to support Trump anymore and blah blah blah. I got to ask you, regardless of what happens, I'm going to tell you another thing. I think next election is going to be the bloodiest election in the history of the United States. And I don't care who wins. I don't care what happens. There's going to be problems. So this whole thing with Trump, it is definitely disappointing. I was disappointed when the whole bump stock thing happened. I'm still of the
opinion that bump stocks are not entirely sure what they're used or good for other than having fun, but if it's mine and I want to have fun with it, it shouldn't be taken away by the government, okay? I get that. I understand that. But the thing is that, how do I word this? Because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm a sheeple here. If no one is willing, if we are not willing to take up arms and change this government right now, then there's going to have to be some concessions made. Because you can sit around and gripe on Facebook all you want. You can do, you can say whatever you want to. You can sit around, beat your chest, and say how patriotic you are and all that. And something's got to be done. We need to do something right now. Well, jump on out there, Hoss. Let's do it. Come on, lead the way. Well, that ain't going to happen. You know? So, I am so opposed to having to accept the lesser of two evils. But the fact of the matter is, you either do nothing and accept what you get, or bust your ass and try to get something done until or unless you are ready to take that final step. If you're not ready to take that final step, oh, you think you are? You ready? Is that what I hear? You're ready to do it? Well, jump your ass on out there and do it. You know what's going to happen? Nothing. You're going to be killed, nobody's going to care, and we've lost another patriot. Whoop-de-doo. So until or unless enough people can get together and decide they're going to turn things around, with violence, then you better start figuring out how you're going to turn it around without violence. And that may include as unappetizing as it may be, that may include compromising a little bit. And I hate the thought of that. I hate it. But you can sit around, beat your chest, and claim all this stuff, and they start taking everybody out one at a time. Well, here in a few years, there's not going to be anybody left, and they'll just do just whatever in the hell they want to, and there won't be any opposition whatsoever. So we need to try to work with what we got. I know, I hate it. But that's the way it is. And that's not going to change. So, and then that takes us to another point. With these red flag laws and all this stuff going on and people like me sitting here talking about this stuff on the radio right now, are they going to start going around and singling people out and taking them out one at a time? Maybe so. They've done it in other countries. Actually, they've done it in this country. You want to get right down to it. They have since forever. Look at Roman history. I mean, go way back. And one of their biggest, whichever side it is, I'm not saying one side over another, one of their biggest, most effective weapons was to, you know, take out the chief, so to speak. There's a reason you don't salute officers in the field. You know, when the cowboys and Indians got together and you shoot the guy wearing the headdress, the rest of them go home. That's the way it works. That's the way it's always worked, always will work that way. Yeah, Doc's 100% right. Red flag laws will invariably target political undesirables. That See, that's what it's for. Of course it will. Obviously. So, what's it going to take? As they start singling out the militia leaders and those that that write books, you know, the Chris Ann Halls of the nation, the Anthony Bosworths of the nation, and they start taking these people out, what's going to happen? Are people eventually going to rise up? Or are they going to keep cowing down until they are completely under control? So, we got a lot to think about over the next, for however long. Here. Think about the Sundown at Coffin Rock, part one and two. We just talked about those, what was it, a month ago or so? 6 weeks ago or something like that? I don't remember. Wasn't too long ago. Think about those. If you don't remember what it is, go to the podcast. Go to TSB Tango Sierra Bravo at podbean.com. TSB at podbean.com. And look in there for Sundown at Coffin Rock. And listen to that podcast. And that's where we're at. Just about. We're right on the threshold, right there, right on the brink of that. Yakima Glock said it was like 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was. I don't remember. Hey, I know that guy right there, Christian in Pine. I know him. Welcome, brother. I haven't seen you for a long time. Glad you dropped in. You're a little late, but I'm glad you dropped in. Maybe we can get you in here on time, Wednesday. Glad you found it though. So let me do something here real quick. Let me go right here and let me type this in. Let's see if that works. And maybe I'll have an answer for you here. Getting closer. Facebook is alive right now with people that are dumping their support for Trump and everything because of what he said. I'm not really a fan of demonizing people or punishing people or whatever for what they might do. I need a little proof. I need a little bit more than that. So Yeah, you're right, Yakima Glock. It was July 10th. That was, 3 weeks ago? Yeah, it was a little sooner than I thought. So go to the podcast. Go on July 10th. Matter of fact, I'm going to put that link in the chat room right now and listen to this again and see what y'all think. Well, naturally, it had to do that. All right, here we go again. Let's try it again. There, if you've never heard Sundown at Coffin Rock, yeah, do that, DeTinker, would you? Do that for us. Run it tomorrow night. If you are able to, DeTinker, run it at my normal time. Hey, well, that's probably what you planned anyway, so we'll just plan on that. And listen to this again. It's a great piece. Man, it's wonderful. I don't know how many times... You know, I've read it to myself numerous times, and I've read it on the air at least 3 times, and I don't mind doing it, over and over again. I love those 2 stories.
It's actually one long story, but it's in two parts there. So either go to that podcast and listen for it, or just really tune into the show tomorrow night at regular time, and the Tinker will have it up there for you. All right, let's go. I've got so many things here. Didn't intend to spend this much time on this, but it just worked out that way. So, I'm sorry. What are you going to do, sue me? I'm going to put another link in there right now, and this is somewhat relevant to what we've been talking about. I'm going to put another link in there right now, and I'm not even going to say what it is. When you get a chance, you just go click on it, and you can determine for yourself if it's useful for you or not. There you go. When you get a chance, check that out, and you may or may not need it. And, yeah, that's right, Yakima Glock, the Window Wars is a great one. I tell you what, there's my old buddy Mike Vanderbo. Well, he wrote The Window War. He did not write Sundown and Coffin Rock. But Mike Vanderbo's got a couple other really, really good, really relevant, really timely stories. And I may just pull a couple of those up and read them here over the next little while. Could be relevant to what's going on here. All right. You guys have heard that at least two NRA members have, NRA board members have resigned. The NRA is not doing well right now. Or they're certainly not doing what we want them to do right now, let's put it that way. And they haven't for a long time. But it's getting worse. You know, if it wasn't for my training credentials and stuff, I would abandon ship too. I just need to keep them because that's what I need for what I do sometimes. But I guess some of you, if you don't live in Arizona, you may not have know this, but our illustrious governor has Doug Ducey is now renewing his bid here to allow judges to take guns away for, you know, red flag laws, where of people believed to be a danger to themselves or others and have them held for mental examination. So not only are they going to take their guns away, if they believe that they're a danger to themselves or somewhere else, they're going to take them against their will and hold them for mental examination. This is not good. The technical term for this is bad. So we'll see what happens. My phone's blowing up here. I've got all kinds of stuff coming in. So the more of these states, cities, counties, whatever, you know, there's nothing saying. I mean, it's already been done. As far as that goes, there are cities that are enacting red flag laws. It's not just at the state level. They're doing it all over the place. So, I don't know, refer to the last 45 minutes of this show, and you can kind of see what we think about that. I'm not going to read the whole thing by Ducey. Just suffice to say that he's a rhino, and he's not doing us a bit of good. We'll just let it go with that for the time being. There was an explosion at a Nashville airport hotel today. No, yesterday. Late yesterday evening, actually. Gasoline in a motel room. At least 2 gallons, they said. Pretty powerful explosion. I haven't checked to see what the update on that is. They said at that point they hadn't determined why the guest had gasoline in his motel room, and I haven't really figured out why that's a great idea yet either, but anyway. The last living Mount Rushmore
Mount Rushmore, the big rock hill where they've carved out all the president's heads, the last Rushmore carver celebrates his 98th birthday. He's the last one left of all the people he said he can remember there when he was 6 years old. Took several years for this to take place. And he's 98 years old, last living one as of 1 week ago. No, as of 3 weeks ago. Nick Clifford is his name. So, a little interesting little story there. Said he's one of nearly 400 men and women that helped build Mount Rushmore National Monument from October 4th, 1927 to October 31st, 1941. They worked as call boys, carvers, drillers, blacksmiths, and housekeepers. But for the last 12 years, Mr. Clifford's been the last one still alive. He said, they're all gone now. I'm the last one, so I'm happy that my health is good, and I plan on living quite a while yet. So good for him. Good for him. I'm glad to hear that. All right, how much time we got left? We still got a few minutes. Let me find another. We'll talk about that. That's going to take a whole show right there. We may talk about that. Here's one. I won't spend a whole lot of time on this, but this is something for you to ponder on. You know, as a parent, one of our absolute biggest fears is CPS. Above sicknesses and diseases and accidents and everything, CPS is one of the biggest fears parents have. Well, in Montana, this is a horrible story. In Montana, without any warning at all to the parents, no warning, advance notice to the school officials or anything, the government come in, closed the school, and took 27 kids into custody. This story is 3 days old. I'm not gonna read the whole story. But a lot of these kids were mentally unstable and troubled for various reasons, because of home life and whatever. And they found this place and they settled in and were doing well and were happy. And because of something similar to a red flag law, the best I could get out of this story is that someone reported that there was some abuse going on there, which they have not at this time proven yet. There's one troubled daughter here that poisoned the family dog, attacked her surprised brother with her fist, tried to set fire to the house, irrational at sometimes and unpleasant, and something definitely wrong. So they've tried all kinds of other stuff. They eventually took them to this place in Montana, the ranch for kids. And they started turning around and more of a holistic approach to healing the mental health of these children. And the government botched all that. And as of, looks like, I think July, last month, a bunch of government officials come into school during the first morning class, announced that the government was closing the school and would be taking the children into state custody. CPS was involved, Health and Human Services was involved, law enforcement was involved. Now, these kids that were there to recover, some recovering, some of them may have already recovered from all this abuse and trauma, we're now feeling the uncomfortable threat to their security here by this show of force by the jackbooted thugs. So they separated the staff and everybody, separating them from the kids. They wouldn't even let the staff be with the kids to comfort them or anything. They completely separated them right away. This is the kind of story. This is what you read out of Nazi Germany, out of Russia, or whatever, Yeah, kidnapping. This is a kidnapping story, is what it sounds like. So they proceeded to round up 27 kids belonging to parents who shared the same sort of scenario. Now, there was a make-believe scenario that was very similar to this. And this make-believe scenario actually come to life last month. School had not been notified. It was planned as a surprise operation and based on alleged complaints of abuse. Why don't you just send a man and a woman in, you know, dressed nicely with concealed weapons? I say concealed weapons because I don't think they ought to walk into a place like this with them openly. But I'm talking about whether it's CPS, law enforcement, you know, somebody. Send a couple of people in there and do a little survey, a little look around and say, well, you know what? I think that whoever called this in is full of crap. These kids all look happy. Don't see any scratches or bruises consistent with abuse. Everybody's laughing. We don't have anybody withdrawn and subdued, sitting in a corner and scared to talk to anybody. I think this whole thing, thank you for your time. Sorry to have bothered you. We'll be on our way. We'll show ourselves to the door. Thank you for allowing us to come in. Now, wouldn't that have been a whole lot easier? And if they find this abuse and everything, then fine. You bring in the troops, do what you have to do to make those kids safe. But, this crap of sending the Gestapo to take 27 kids away from their parents, I just, for the record, let the record show that I am very much opposed to this. But again, as I said earlier, it's not going to change until people decide to change it.
Now, that doesn't mean we have to start a revolution right now. What it could mean is that if let's say in this little town in Montana where this place, let's say that every parent, every family member, every concerned citizen in that county marched on the courthouse that was responsible, that had the most jurisdiction here over this, or claimed jurisdiction or whatever. There's ways to do this that we could probably make an impact if we just do it. You know, it doesn't mean we have to lock and load and go and attack Washington, D.C. right now. That's not going to work out well for anybody. But if people would get serious, if people weren't so afraid of missing a day of work, so afraid of going to jail for a misdemeanor offense whatever, disturbing the peace or whatever the case may be, then we could change some of this. You know, people, I can't miss work. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Don't go. You call in sick, you do whatever you want to do. Just don't go. Well, I can't afford to pay. Well, figure it out. You're a big boy. Work it out some way or another. Just the way it has to be. So with that little tidbit of information there, a little encouragement, I'm going to get out of here and let y'all have your evening back. And we'll see you Wednesday evening. We're not sure yet. Well, I'll let you know Wednesday what's going on there. So good night before I start rambling too much. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.